The tomb is empty. Donnell, come in here. He bustles in, robes rustling in the hollow emptiness. The tomb is empty. There is no hibernation chamber. I did not truly expect there to be one. But neither is there sarcophagus or coffin. A bright bulb illuminates the white interior. What the hell is this, Donnell? I thought this was Ciri's tomb. It is, Father. Where is she interred? Under the floor, for Christ's sake? Donnell mops at his brow. I remember that it is his mother I am speaking of. I also remember that he has had almost 2 years to accustom himself to the idea of her death. No one told you? He asks. Told me what? The anger and confusion are already ebbing. I was rushed here from the dropship station and told that I was to visit Ciri's tomb before the Farcaster opening. What? Mother was cremated as per her instructions. Her ashes were spread on the Great South Sea from the highest platform of the family isle. Then why this crypt? I watch what I say. Donnell is sensitive. He mops his brow again and glances to the door. We are shielded from the view of the crowd, but we are far behind schedule. Already the other members of the council have had to hurry down the hill to join the dignitaries on the bandstand. My slow grief this day has been worse than bad timing. It has turned into bad theater. Mother left instructions. They were carried out. He touches a panel on the inner wall, and it slides up to reveal a small niche containing a metal box. My name is on it. What is that? Donnell shakes his head.
Personal items Mother left for you. Only Magritte knew the details, and she died last winter without telling anyone.
All right, I said. Thank you. I'll be out in a moment. Donnell glances at his chronometer.
The ceremony begins in 8 minutes. They will activate the Farcaster in 20 minutes.
I know, I say. I do know. Part of me knows precisely how much time is left. I'll be out in a moment. Donnell hesitates and then departs. I close the door behind him with a touch of my palm. The metal box is surprisingly heavy. I set it on the stone floor and crouch beside it. A smaller palm lock gives me access. The lid clicks open, and I peer into the container. Well, I'll be damned, I say softly. I do not know what I expected. Artifacts, perhaps? Nostalgic mementos of our 103 days together. Perhaps a pressed flower from some forgotten offering, or the French horn conch we dove for off Feveron. But there are no mementos, not as such. The box holds a small Steiner gin hand laser, one of the most powerful projection weapons ever made. The accumulator is attached by a power lead to a small fusion cell that Ciri must have cannibalized from her new submersible. Also attached to the fusion cell is an ancient comm log, an antique with a solid-state interior and a liquid crystal disk key. The charge indicator glows green. There are two other objects in the box. One is the translator medallion we had used so long ago. The final object makes me literally gape in surprise. Why, you little bitch, I say. Things fall into place. I cannot stop a smile. You dear, conniving little bitch. There, rolled carefully, power lead correctly attached, lies the hawking mat Mike Osho bought in Carvnell Marketplace for 30 marks. I leave the hawking mat there, disconnect the comm log, and lift it out. I sit cross-legged on the cold stone and thumb the disky. The light in the crypt fades out, and suddenly Ciri is there before me. They did not throw me off the ship when Mike died. They could have, but they did not. They did not leave me to the mercy of provincial justice on Maui Covenant. They could have, but they chose not to. For 2 days I was held in security and questioned, once by Shipmaster Singh himself. Then they let me return to duty. For the 4 months of the long leap back, I tortured myself with the memory of Mike's murder.
I knew that in my clumsy way I had helped to murder him. I put in my shifts, dreamed my sweaty nightmares, and wondered if they would dismiss me when we reached the web. They could have told me, but they chose not to. They did not dismiss me. I was to have my normal leave in the web, but could take no off-ship R&R while in the Maui Covenant system. In addition, there was a written reprimand and temporary reduction in rank. That was what Mike's life had been worth, a reprimand and reduction in rank. I took my 3-week leave with the rest of the crew, but unlike the others, I did not plan to return. I farcast to Esperance and made the classic shipman's mistake of trying to visit family. 2 days in the crowded residential bulb was enough, and I stepped to Lussus and took my pleasure in 3 days of whoring on the Rue des Chats. When my mood turned darker, I cast to Fuji and lost most of my ready marks betting on the bloody samurai fights there. Finally, I found myself farcasting to Home System Station and taking the 2-day pilgrim shuttle down to Hellas Basin. I had never been to Home System or Mars before, and I never planned to return. But the 10 days I spent there, alone and wandering the dusty, haunted corridors of the monastery, served to send me back to the ship, back to Siri. Occasionally I would leave the red-stoned maze of the megalith and, clad only in skin-suit and mask, stand on one of the uncounted thousands of stone balconies and stare skyward at the pale gray star which had once been old Earth. Sometimes then I thought of the brave and stupid idealists heading out into the great dark in their slow and leaking ships, carrying embryos and ideologies with equal faith and care. But most times I did not try to think. Most times I simply stood in the purple night and let Siri come to me. There, in the Master's Rock, where perfect Satori had eluded so many much worthier pilgrims, I achieved it through the memory of a not-quite-16-year-old woman-child's body, lying next to mine while moonlight spilled from a Thomas Hawk's wings. When the Los Angeles spun back up to a quantum state, I went with her. 4 months later, I was content to pull my shift with the construction crew, plug into my usual stims, and sleep my R&R away. Then Singh came to me.
"You're going down," he said.
I did not understand.
"In the past 11 years, the groundlings have turned your screw-up with Osho into a goddamn legend," said Singh. "There's an entire cultural mythos built around your little role in the hay with that colonial girl."
"Siri," I said.
"Get your gear," said Singh. "You'll spend your 3 weeks groundside. The ambassador's experts say you'll do the hegemony more good down there than up here. We'll see."
The world was waiting. Crowds were cheering. Siri was waving. We left the harbor in a yellow catamaran and sailed south-southeast, bound for the archipelago and her family isle.